your Bibles to, let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 4. I'll get there. I'm teaching you, and I began last week teaching, I titled it The Mystery of Confession. I told you that a mystery is like a revelation. It's something that has to be revealed to us by God. You know, there's things in the Bible that only the Holy Spirit can reveal to you. They stay mystery. They stay wrapped up, just like a Christmas gift under the Christmas tree. I mean, at some point you can guess what's in it, but at some point you've got to unwrap it to find out what's really in it. You can shake it, and you can lift it up, and you can weigh it, but that's the way the Word of God is. That's why we have to seek God, and because God has something in His Word that when we seek Him with that whole heart, it says that we'll find Him. Amen? And then we're talking about the mystery or this revelation of confession. A lot of people don't understand as believers how important that our words really are. The Bible says that, you know, our words are life and death. They really are. You know, we hear the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How many know that's not really scriptural? It's really not scriptural because words do hurt and words can create. And a lot of times, many times we talk about words in here, but when we understand that life and death is in the power of our words, what we speak, what we say, it really does matter. And so in Hebrews chapter 4, we need to see this morning how words work and how to use our words to repair the things in our lives that need repaired. How to reconstruct, if you will, or how we replant, because when we realize that our words are seed, then what we say is depositing seed in our heart. And if our words are corrupt, then our plant is going to be corrupt. We're going to produce our deposit in our soil, our hearts, and we're going to cause trees to grow up that we don't want to grow. Now, how many know it's a lot harder to cut a tree down and get rid of a tree once the tree becomes well established? So we have to have the Word of God and understand that it is powerful. First point I'm going to make to you this morning is that you need to understand just how powerful the Word of God is. Confession is saying what God says about us. What God says about you. Finding what God says in His Word and then saying that word. Now, sometimes we don't feel comfortable saying things that God says because it looks a little foolish. But we have to come back and say, okay, God said that His Word is the truth. Remember? The devil is a liar. That means he's got a lot of lies, but there's only one truth. And so we covered that ground last week. And today in Hebrews 4:12, I want you to see that the Word of God is powerful. It says it right here in Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the Word of God is living and powerful. It's something that is alive. It's something that is powerful. The Word of God is different from any other words that we speak. It says that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Something when the Word goes inside of us, because it's a living Word, it's alive, it begins to amplify, it begins to work on us, it begins to bring conviction to us, it begins to illuminate, it begins to show us things, and the Holy Spirit puts His stamp on that Word, and that Word comes alive on the inside of us. That's why we call it a living Word, a Word that is powerful. Now, over in Proverbs chapter 4, it tells us that the Word of God is life. Maybe we ought to just read it. Some of you know these basic things, but you know, it doesn't hurt to go back and look at some of these things and get these back in our understanding, because we do need to understand how powerful the Word of God is. It says in Proverbs 4:22, have you found it? It says, "For they are life," talking about the Word of God, "to those that find them, and health." Everybody say health. How many want to be healthy? You see, you want life and you want health. Well, it's found in the Word of God. The Word of God, according to Psalms 107:20, the Bible says He sent His Word and healed them of all of their affliction. Talking about the children of Israel, when they left Egypt and they went across the Red Sea and began their journey in the wilderness, the Bible says that there was not one feeble one, not one sick one among them. And we're talking about a multitude. We're talking about millions of people. Why was there not one sick? Because God sent His Word, and there was power enough in His Word to heal every one of the children of Israel. Now, if you believe that, then you believe that there's power in His Word to heal even today, because God is the same. Amen? Amen? That's why we say the Word of God, it's living and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And here it says that it's live, it's medicine to us. He tells us, and this is one of the things we're going to talk about this morning, to guard our hearts. It says, keep your heart, verse 23, with all diligence. Because why? Out of it spring the issues of life. The issues of life. Underline the word issue, because really the word issue there is referring to a geographical border or a fence. I like it because it really is a Hebrew idiom that means that we move away from something, a point in which we move away. In other words, is there a point in your life that you will move away from God? Is there a point in your life where that the test or the trial or the pressure could become so great that you would move away from God? Well, you really don't know that until you're under that trial. You really don't know that until the pressure has come. That's why he says that we are to guard our heart, because the heart is the seed bed or the soil by which these words are planted in them. Now, let's go and see how powerful the Word of God is. Are you with me? Are you getting this? All right, go over with me, please, to Mark chapter 4. Over in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark chapter 4. This morning, I want to develop faith in your confession. You know, we make a lot of confessions, especially when we teach on Wednesday night, make confessions, and we need to have faith in our confessions, that we're not just saying things to say things, but it's important that you have faith in your confession so that your confession will work for you. Amen? All right, now let's read. Let's begin reading here in verse 35. It says, "On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.'" Now look at this just a moment. He didn't say, "depending on what the weather's doing." He didn't say, "depending on whether the waves are going to be raging or the storm is on the way." Because we know that the storm was on the way and the winds were raging. But he said, "Let us cross over to the other side." And now when they had left the multitude, verse 36, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And then a great windstorm, say a great windstorm, it arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. In other words, the boat was being overtaken by the waves that were filling it. And it says in verse 38, "But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" Can I put that just in simple Texas language? "Lord, don't you know we're fixing to die?" A lot of times, now I want you to see this, because here's what happens. Here's the main tactic, if you will, of how the devil gets us to weaken our confession, weaken our words. He gets us to looking at the circumstances. And when we look at the circumstances, we're going to say things that we don't really mean. We're going to say things that we don't really want to come to pass. Are you listening to me? It's important that we see this because, see, the devil wants you to get your eye on something that it looks like is going to happen, but God has already said, hey, do this, and this is what's going to happen. But he wants us to get our eyes focused on what's happening at the moment, to take our eyes and our heart, but our confession, off of what God has said. Now, this is a simple thing, but it's something that trips up a lot of people. And because of the circumstances, see, they got their eyes off of what the Lord had already said, and they begin to cry out, we are perishing. We're about to go down in this thing. Now, look at verse 39, if you will. It says, then he arose and he rebuked, now look at this, he arose and he rebuked the wind. Now let's just meditate on that just a moment, because I'm sharing this with you to let you know that when you have a negative situation in life, when you have a set of things that are happening, we call them circumstances, you can rebuke them. It's amazing how many people don't understand just simple confession. And, you know, Jesus didn't say, okay, guys, let's get some buckets. Let's get some organization in this boat and let's start bailing. Let's start dipping, because if we don't get busy, the boat's going to be overtaking water and we're going to sink. No, what did he do? He stood up and immediately he rebuked the wind and the waves. Now, you might ask, and again, some people have never seen this. Why would Jesus stand up and rebuke the waves? Why would he do it? Well, he was confessing the word. He was agreeing with what God has already said. Some of you don't see that. Just hold your thing right there. Go to Psalms 89. Oh, boy. Are y'all here this morning? I know y'all are listening good. Psalms 89. Now look at this. Psalms 89 and verse 9. Now what did we say confession was? It's finding out what God says and say the same thing that God says. Look at Psalms 89 and 9. For sake of time, we'll just simplify it here. It says, you rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you will still them. Hey, did y'all see that? I said, did you catch that? Jesus was just coming back and saying what God had already said. God said, when the waves begin to rage and when the waves begin to rise, I say, still them. So Jesus just stood up in the boat and did exactly what the Word of God said to do. We have not learned this because we have not been taught this, and so we don't realize that we are in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is supernatural. There's going to be times that you look at things in the natural. How many know in the natural you're not going to stop a storm? You're not going to stop the wind, and you're not going to stop the waves from raging. But when you say what God says, then God, because you are a kingdom person, because you live in a supernatural kingdom of God, when you speak God's word, you put super on your natural. God shows up. You can't stop the storm, but God can. It's important that we learn this principle of our confession and saying what God says, because we live in a kingdom and whose king is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? He has written this word and he has power and given us that power over all the works of the enemy. Now go back to verse 39 because we need to see this. It says, he rebuked the storm. Now look at this in Mark chapter 4 verse 39. It says he arose and he rebuked the wind. He just said what God said in his word. And he said to the sea. Notice he spoke to the sea. He spoke to the sea. What did he say? Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was calm. See, I want to convince you this morning that as a result of what Jesus spoke, he spoke the word of God. He made a confession that lined up with what God said. It began to change the circumstances. It began to change the external things that were going on. I want to convince you this morning that when you use the word of God, it's designed by God to change the very course of your world, the very course of your nature. Are you with me this morning? We have to see that because it can change and it can rearrange. It can create, praise God, because that's what the word of God does. And the problem is, you know, we haven't really fully been taught these things that we can do as believers in Christ. And a lot of times, even though maybe in the back of our mind, we know we can say what God says, but we don't fully believe it with our heart because some of the things that we say look foolish. You know, if you go out there and you see a hurricane barreling down, and you go out in your front yard and you start rebuking the wind, the neighbors are going to talk about you. But you've got to get yourself in a place where you really don't care what the neighbors think. Because if you can rebuke the storm, not only are you going to save their house, but you're going to save their house. And so we got to come back and understand that we better understand and get our words right, get our speech right, because there's storms that are coming. Now, that's a prophetic word to you this morning. There's going to be some storms that come in life, and we need to speak what God says so that we can create with our words the result that we want to have. When we fail to realize how powerful that our words are is when we allow the enemy through the circumstances and these issues of life to take us away from those boundaries that we've set. Now, I'm saying this to you, that the devil is after our words. Sometimes you don't realize this, but he understands that just by our nature, we're created to say what we see. And we have to be very, 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 very careful saying what we see. We should never, ever really say what we see in the natural. We should never say what we see in the natural, but what we want to come to pass based on God's word. Because when we say what we see, then we're just creating an avenue for the enemy to continue to work to bring that to pass of what we're saying. I'm trying to say this real slow and easy for you so you get it. A lot of what you have been saying will stop those blessings. Remember all that list I gave you a while ago during the offer? There's other factors involved. A lot of your speech, a lot of the things that you say, stop the blessing of God from overtaking and coming upon your life. Mm-hmm. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I can't believe how quiet y'all are today. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5. We never give the turkey credit. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. Now here, look at this. Here's what Jesus said. He said, let your words, the original says your conversation, let your words, yes, be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. So what's he saying here? He's saying we need to put a watch over our words. And we need to just let our yes be yes and our no be no. sometimes we want to be descriptive. Sometimes we want to add some adjectives. And sometimes we want to say some things to add to our yes and our no. But Jesus said, if we say anything other than yes, or our yes be simply yes and our no be simply no, he said all that other stuff is coming from an evil heart or from the evil one. It's very easy to say corrupt things when our heart is corrupt. It's very easy to say things that are destructive when there's destructive things, issues going on in our heart and in our life. The Amplified says it, let your yes simply be yes, and your no simply be no, and anything more than that comes from the devil. So we just need to shut down some of our vocabulary and simplify and let our yes be yes and our no be no. Look at somebody and say yes. And look at somebody else and say no. See how simple that was? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. See what the enemy's trying to do? He's trying to weaken our words. He's trying to get us to say what we see. A lot of times we say things like, you better put your jacket on, you're going to catch your death of cold. Every time I eat this, it makes me sick. This thing costs me an arm and a leg. You see what you're saying? Sometimes we don't even realize what we're saying, but Jesus warned us and told us that we would give an account for every idle word that we speak. He said we would be justified or we would be condemned by our words. So a lot of times we think that we're saying these things, but Jesus was firm. He was very strict on making sure that your yes be yes and your no be no. And if there's something else coming out of there, you better put a guard on it. You better put a watch on it, because it's coming from the evil side. It's coming from the evil one. Now, let's go and continue to look at James chapter 1. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. This is powerful. This is important. This is ABCs of Christianity. But if you're going to live victoriously, you're going to have to learn that your confession is very important, and it's what gets you over that hump into that place where the blessings of the Lord can overtake you. Now, in James chapter 1, let's look at this right quick. It says, my brethren, verse 2, count it all what? Joy. Everybody say joy. What's joy? Well, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. It says, count it all joy. It's a supernatural force. It's not just being happy. You can't be happy when negative and bad things are happening to you. But how many know you can maintain joy? Joy is a supernatural. It's a spiritual force that is given to you and I by the Holy Spirit. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You can write down in your margin, trials, there is temptation and testing. You know, the Bible teaches that our faith will be tried, right? It'll be tested. Knowing, look at verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, this is the place where God wants you and I to attain to, where we need to get in life, where we're not lacking nothing. The devil wants us always lacking. The devil wants us always looking at what we don't have so we can be murmurers and complainers, so we can weaken our word, weaken our confession. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, because of the way the devil uses our words, and our words weaken our confession, it's going to take wisdom, the wisdom of God, to overcome some of the things that our own mouth, our own speech puts us into. I'm not getting too many amens here. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, Let him ask of God who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given unto him. Verse 6 and 7 says, but let him ask how? In faith, without no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. See, what's he saying? He's saying sometimes the way we allow the devil to get into our lives is just simply through our speech. And he's telling us how we can defeat the devil. He's telling us how that we can be wise of his tactics and understand that the devil can obscure, he can camouflage, if you will, his attacks and the way that he deceives us through the words that we speak. Sometimes we're not aware of those words, but those words are still going forth because they're coming out of our hearts. See, the Bible teaches us that it's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is what? Speaks. So if our heart can be full of an abundance of all that negative stuff and all the stuff that is corrupt and evil on the inside of us, because Jesus taught it's not what goes in the man that defiles him, but what? What comes out of him. And so we understand that when these things are going forth and we're not and our heart is speaking out of the abundance, then it's our mouth that is getting us in trouble. It's our speech. It's what we say. It's what we do. And so, you know, a lot of times we don't mean to say things, but we don't realize that once we've spoken them, those words go into action. We say things like, boy, I just can't pay that bill. Those bills are just mounting up. Well, what are we doing? We're allowing those words to go down in the soil of our heart, and they're producing a tree that we don't want planted there. And those words are producing an image, and so that mountain of bills is just becoming bigger and bigger and larger till you're deceived and convinced in your own heart, I'm not going to pay those bills. Now, you didn't mean to say that, and that's not the result that you want, but that is what you have put in your heart by the word or by the confession that you have spoken. And it becomes such a large mountain in there that you can't see beyond it. So what am I saying? I'm saying we got to clean up our speech. We got to clean up what we say. We don't want our mountains to get bigger. Amen? We want our mountains to be removed. Now let's go over to Mark chapter 11. Are y'all okay? Okay. Just trying to teach you some things here that's really going to help you as we make confession. You know, we're confessing good things. We're confessing that God wants to bless us above all the peoples of the earth. Come on, we're confessing that our blessings come from God. We need to start prophesying over one another what God says. Not what we think, but what God says. We need to start telling one another, you're rich. We need to start talking to each other. You're millionaires. You're going to be a billionaire. Your business is going to be multi-billions. We got to start saying what God says. We can't just mouth it. We can't just say it because it's in our head, because remember, that doesn't really count. It's got to get into our heart. We've got to see it in the Word of God. We've got to be like Jeremiah and let God touch our mouth. Put the word of God into our mouth. And what happened is that when God touched Jeremiah's mouth and put the word in his mouth and in his heart, because that's where faith has to reside, amen, in your heart and in your mouth, then God said, Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah saw that almond tree. Jeremiah saw something in the spirit, and God said, you have seen right. And because you have seen right, he said, I am ready to perform my word. He said, I'm watching over my word to bring it to pass. Are you here? Isaiah said, the word of God will not return void, But it will accomplish the very thing in which I sent it to do. See, yeah, by nature, when we see something, we want to say it. That's why we've got to get our mind renewed. That's why we've got to say what God says, because when we say what God says, God is ready to start the performing of that word that you have spoken in your life. It really doesn't matter. Sometimes we say things to people and we're religiously conscious of what we're saying, and so we watch our mouth, but yet we get alone and talk to ourselves. And I'm going to tell you something. It really doesn't matter if you're talking to somebody else or talking to yourself. They're still words. I'm really trying to help some of you. I'm saying we've got to watch our speech, because what we say really is important. We are believers, amen? And we're here to create the things that the enemy does to destroy and bring negative circumstances. We're here to speak life into those things and change them and alter them. Amen? Now go with me over here as we close this in Mark chapter 11. Hallelujah. See, you don't realize, see, it doesn't matter. If you planted something in your garden that you don't want to grow, then it's going to produce a negative situation. It's going to produce a tree that you didn't want there. And if you see a situation in your church, don't say what you see. Say what you want to come to pass. Amen. Same thing in your family. Don't say what you see. Say what you want to come to pass. Say, I see my children healthy. I see my children serving God. Come on. Don't say what you see, but say what God says, because let God be true, remember, and every man a liar. You that have business, don't look at the books and don't say what you see. Say what you want to come to pass. That's what we're talking about, the revelation of confession. We're just doing what God said to do. All right? Are you with me? So if everybody would get together and we begin to say the same thing as God says, how many know we would have a powerful church built on a powerful word, and we could change circumstances and we could change situations just by our coming into agreement saying the same thing that God says? Can you imagine if all of us got together, somebody was afflicted or somebody was bedridden, and the world or the doctors say there's no hope, but we got together and say there's hope in Jesus. We all come together in agreement over those things. That's what we're talking about, folks. There is power, because the Word of God, remember, it's a living thing. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it's always working. Once you release it, and it's going into the human heart. Now, let me show you, because the heart, see, is really the filtering agent. It's the place where everything is planted. The kingdom of God works like this. Everything that you and I do comes through our hearts. Talking about the spirit of man. That's why we can't serve God out of our heads, amen? We have to serve God from our hearts. Everything in the kingdom of God is filtered through our heart, filtered through that spirit man. That's why Jesus told us that we're to guard that heart. That's why if the heart is evil, then it's going to produce evil fruit. Are you following? It's very simple. It's very simple to see it once you begin to understand the very principle of confession. So it's time that we say what God says. Amen. And we get that. We don't want things planted in our hearts that we don't want to grow. If you've got something planted in your heart today that you don't want to grow, you're going to have to go and get wisdom from God and get that seed that may have already sprouted up and become a tree. Remember what Jesus said again. It's not what goes in that defiles you. It's what comes out. I said it's what comes out. It's the roots of bitterness that spring up out of a person's life that defiles them. Why? Because it's coming out of your heart. It's not really what you see. But if what you see has been filtered through a heart that's based upon the Word of God, it's going to turn that negative thing into a positive thing. It's going to turn that situation that looks bad, it's going to turn it into hope and say, you know, I trust God. I believe God. I believe that God is well able. Well, in Mark 11, now let me show you this. I'm trying to close. It's time we declare these things to each other. Amen. Mark 11, 23. Now, in this church, we use this a lot. And I remember somebody asked Kenneth Hagin. He preached for over 50 years. And every sermon he preached, he used Mark 11, 23 and 24. And they asked him, when are you going to change and get another text? He said, when they get this one. And every time, I don't know, over 50 years, every time I go back and read Mark 11, 23 and 24, I get something else out of it. It's so marked up in my Bible, I can barely read it. But I tell you, there's something else here. Look at this. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whosoever, as the King James says, whosoever. Did you know you're a whosoever? Are you a believer? Then it says, whoever says to this mountain. Now, what's the mountain? The mountain is something that stands between you and the promise of God. It's something that stands between you and your healing. Something that stands between you and your deliverance. Something that stands between you and what God has promised you in His Word. There is a mountain there. And God has not called you to go around the mountain like grandma, but He's called you to speak to the mountain. Hello, somebody. He said, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt where. See, everything springs forth out of our hearts, right? That's where the issues, that's where the boundary is. That's where the point of will you get away or not comes from. It says, but believes, now look at this, that those things he says will be done and he will have whatever he says. Now here's what I want you to see. Underline that those things. Those things. He didn't say this thing. He said those things. Now look, what are we doing? We're teaching, we're training you to believe that everything you say will come to pass. Come on, somebody. Everything, that's what I'm training you, just like a good soldier. Like basic training. Everything that you say. You say, well, what if I say something bad? That's why you've got to watch what you say. I'm teaching you that everything that you say will come to pass. Why? Because God wants you to be able to move mountains. I'm teaching, I'm training you like a good soldier of faith to speak to your mountains. And if you don't doubt in your heart that you will see, your problem has not been money. Your problem has been what you say. Sometimes you're looking at the wrong thing as your problem. Go back and look at what you've been saying. You like to get on that phone and gossip. You like to talk. So you're not counting it all joy when you fall into different trials and temptations. You can't wait to get on there and tell somebody all the bad stuff that's going on. Don't shout me down now. See, we've got to be able to say things that we know that are coming to pass. Amen. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit this morning to begin checking the words that we speak. Now, if you're married to somebody like I'm married, she's always checking me. She's saying, what did you say? But I'm asking the Holy Spirit to put a check on all of us so that we can begin to speak to our mountains, whatever those mountains may be, because why? The Word is alive. We went into it. We go in. We used to. It's not there anymore. The restaurant. And the waitress, you know, she'd always come out saying something and telling us something. And we just point blank tell her, you need to go to church. That's it. Just, you need to go to church. And every time we'd go back in there, she'd look. She'd come over there and say, what time are your services? Now, watch what happened. Watch what happened. All we did was speak a word. But it was the Holy Spirit amplifying that word on the inside. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes we just need to relax and let God do His thing with His word. Amen? Just because when you speak it, see, it goes into that person. Now, they got to toss it around in there, but it's being amplified. It's being magnified. And it's working on them. Now, they may reject. I'm not saying they'll always accept, but I'm saying that the Word is designed by God to work mightily in the hearts. Amen. To get in the soul of a person. So, the enemy wants us to weaken what we say. And we have to give the enemy permission. Just like we have to give God permission. We say God's in control. Well, He's in ultimate control, but you're in temporary control. I said, you're in temporary control. Why do you think He said, give no place to the devil? See, you have to give permission for God to work in your life and through your life. Well, you got to give permission for the devil to work. You say, well, what if I don't give anybody permission? Then nothing works. Nothing works. Somebody's going to work. If you don't give anyone, I tell you who's going to work. The enemy's going to work. So are you listening to me this morning? So I want us just to stand a minute, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. The things that I want you to remember today is the enemy is after our words. And when you say what God says, your word comes out with a power. Say power.
Power.
And it has power to virtually change and rearrange your world. Do you believe that?
Yes, amen.
And when we get ready to take communion this morning, say, what did He say? He said, when you do this, you do it in remembrance of Me. Now, He's given us the ability to be forgiven. He's given us the ability to not remember. He said, I'll remember your sin no more. I'll cast it as far as the east is from the west, into the deepest part of the sea. A lot of times we want to dwell on that past and remember those negative things. But you're not living life in the rearview mirror anymore. Amen? You can't drive and constantly keep your focus what's going on behind you. God said, I'll be your rear guard. Book of Isaiah. Yeah. Hey, just keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. That's why the enemy is so volatile in people's lives, allowing you to be tripped up, being snared by the enemy. Begin to declare out of your own mouth, from your heart, devil, I give you no place no more. Put a guard, put a watch over my lips, Holy Spirit. Isaiah, call for that coal to come off of the altar. Purify, cleanse my speech, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, while you just bow your head with me and I'll let you sit down and take communion, but let's give an opportunity.